Chapter 3. Mia. Question. Are you a lone wolf, or do you run with a pack? The poor guy. Ethan. Looks like he's just requested a nail file to the eyeball. So he doesn't like asking for favors. Interesting. Yeah, no big deal, I tell him. It takes all of my self-control not to reach out and touch him. Straighten his red color-blocked tie or smooth the slight cowlick that rises over his straight, serious brow. Air molecules thicken between us, scintillating with that delicious energy of attraction. Or, okay, lust. It's been so long since I've felt that, and I would love to just stay here, anchored in this moment. But I have no time. A car horn honks, punctuating my thought. Guess our ride's here, I say. He leans in front of me to open the door, and I become intensely aware of both his height, he has about 6 inches on me, and I'm in 4-inch heels, and of his scent, smoky and tantalizing, like a beach bonfire. Another flash comes to me, the inside of a cab, streetlight shading and then revealing his beautiful, serious face. He hauls me across the seat, pulling my leg over his and bracing me with powerful hands against my back. Then the memory pinholes shut, leaving only the uptick of my pulse and the reminder that I really, really have places to go. I precede him onto a narrow balcony, blinking in the crystalline light that turns everything to shimmering green and gold. On the street below, a cab idles, and I head toward a rickety-looking aluminum staircase to make my way down. I'm aware of him behind me, the feeling of him, tangible and light at the same time, his quick, certain footsteps shaking the entire staircase as we descend. Head in the game, Galliano. This is about becoming who I want to become, finishing my film, finding a way into the business on my own. This is most certainly not about a dude whose big move consists of hiding my underwear in an appliance. I slide into the cab first and give the address of the Boomerang offices. Ethan climbs in on the other side. Olympic and Avenue of the Stars, he tells me.